You may wonder this morning as we turn to God's word why Peter was up here, or is up here. We began to have a discussion a little while ago, and our passage this morning is talking about being partners in the gospel. Our passage is so applicable to what we do here as a church, what we do as a denomination. And so I thought it would be good to have our chair of council and also a representative of the denomination here to really bring to life the words of Paul as we kind of have a conversation, but we also dig into the text that Paul has for us this morning. Hear God's word. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. One of the amazing things about the Christian life is that God invites us in his word to be partners in the gospel. And here we have it. There are thousands of churches in millions of different ways. And yet we're all doing one thing. We're following Christ in mission. And obviously, Peter, that is bigger than the small c, the church here in Richmond Hill. We're part of a denomination that is bigger than us. What does that partnership in the gospel look like denominationally?
That's a big question. Let me try to take a little slice of that. So our denomination, the Christian Reformed Church in North America, we have a little over 1,000 churches across North America, 270 or so across Canada. And the denomination is set to support us in as many things that we are doing or we want to do around the world. So let me pick a couple of key examples. So we had a number of months ago, Kevin DeRaff from Resonate Global Mission come up, and he, I think you were gone that day, and Kevin preached for us, but Kevin represents Resonate Global Mission, and Resonate does some pretty amazing things on our behalf. They have over 100 missionaries across the world that engage with communities across the world and share the good news with them. Resonate supports each of those missionaries and each of those communities in such a way that if anything happens change-wise, that they're set up to thrive going forward. If that minister is looking for a change, will they make sure there's a new pastor who can come in and replace them? If the congregation, if that community is going through something traumatic, they will make sure that the training is there to leverage. So that's a couple of the little things that Resonate does that's amazing. On Christmas Day, we had an offering for World Renew, another organization that our denomination is very much in partnership with. World Renew does projects around the world in terms of supporting both disaster relief projects, but also just helping people who need help. They're very involved in key countries in Africa right now, helping them out with traumatic things that have happened with Boko Haram, who've kidnapped girls in key communities. So they're helping heal through the trauma that something like that happens, something like that we just can't even imagine. With, you know, a little closer to home, we have an organization that is part of the denomination called Faith Formation Ministries, and they develop curriculum for us to use both from a Sunday school perspective and from a small group perspective. And they help us just realize how we as individuals can relate to the gospel and can relate to each other. The last one that I'll share is Back to God Ministries. So they also do lots of little things, one of which is that they publish the Today devotional that we have out front. So if you, I know many of us read one of those. They're actually celebrating their 80th year this year, and they've published a devotional booklet. So if you want one of these, there's a donation required, but if you want one of these, you can talk to me later and we can hook you up. But they also have gospel activities in over 55 countries around the world, and their goal is to reach people who are harder to reach. They've translated the gospel into a multitude of languages. They started their ministry program as basically a radio station, And that's grown to, you know, multimedia. They've got key kids programs and lots of things just to engage, all trying to make a difference in what happens in the world.
I think of that work, and I think, you know, even classically, we won't touch on that because the deacons will speak on that. And it's amazing how God works. Didn't even know that that was the offering for today, but really speaks to the church, even across Toronto, in what we're doing. But what about in our community? How, or what are ways that we can be partners in the gospel here in Richmond Hill?
So as you talk a little closer to home, I think we've got a few examples of that we've talked about recently. I think of some of the offerings that we recently had. Eric's very involved in the Gateway program, an opportunity for us to be involved to help primarily men, although women are there as well, in terms of just providing them with a little bit more dignity, whether that be clothing, whether that be help, whether that be a meal, whether that be an encouragement just to succeed and to thrive. We have Letty Hall, a former member here, was very involved in Richmond Hill Hospice. A community-run organization that we can be involved in to help people who are in their final stages of their life just leave with a little bit more dignity behind them. We've got some folks here very involved in the Richmond Hill Food Bank. We've got a bin out front. It's connecting with the community in that way. We have a wonderful building right next to us with which we're very involved in. Jack's involved in the ministry there. I know Ruth's very involved with that ministry as well, just helping people in so many ways. George and Theo are involved in the Out of the Cold program in our neighboring communities. So there's so many things that we are already involved in, and there are many more that I'm not aware of, but I know that folks are involved in. So that's it certainly talks to, one, the opportunity, but two, the fact that we're making good strides to be very involved in our community in many ways already.
You know what, I think it's important that we start this way, because Paul begins our passage this morning by talking about being partners in the gospel. Paul's in jail, and Paul's first thought as he writes this Philippian church is to give thanks for the work that they're doing in the ministry, and he wants to encourage them, he wants to challenge them, he wants them to embrace this gospel that they have going on, and at the same time, he's saying, be encouraged, continue the work that has already begun in you, and yet I'm going to continue that while I'm in jail, and I'm going to share the gospel with those who are in the cells and the jailers around me. Picture this. Here's Paul's letter. He's writing to a church in Philippi. It's what we would call Greece today. It wasn't a large city, but it was an important trade city. It was a Gentile city. In fact, there weren't very many Jewish people there. You only needed 10 men to be able to create a synagogue. There wasn't even enough for that. Emperor worship was quite common. They were small. And as I begin to think of the work of the church today and churches being smaller than they once were, God has given us the gifts. God has given us the talents. God has given churches the resources to do the work. And I think of that grace that Paul talks about in our passage and how he wants us to live that out. That's why, you know, I love our statement that we want to reach out in full. And here's how we want to do it. Talk about the grace that Paul's talking about. We want to be on fire with the love of God and the people of prayer. You want to be the hands and the feet of Jesus here and around the world. I think you're touching on some stuff that's really doing that. And as you're doing that, how could we not be a place of hope and healing and inspiration? And as that happens, how could we not become more diverse in age and culture? But I think as Paul writes, and I think of our own stories, and I wonder what gets in the way of us living out, being who God wants us to be, to fulfill that grace that God has started in our story. I think we get in the way. And you know what? How many times have you not heard it? You know what? I'll serve God when I got more time. I'll serve God when I have more money, or I'll give when I have more money. I'll Serve when I feel more talented or equipped to do what I'm going to do, but I wonder if we miss it out. And I think Paul gets at it in the text. Don't miss out, people of God, on what God has in store for you. God has some pretty incredible things planned for you in 2020. And here's how I know it, because Paul says that he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. How exciting is it that you and I get to partner with God in the gospel? He's already equipped. He's already gifted. All he's ready for us to say, God, I'm willing. And I think if we miss that, we miss out on some incredible blessings that God wants to do within us. Now, I would hate for anyone to miss out on what God might have in store for them in 2020. So we have a group here. What if they wanted to engage with community church this year? How might they do that?
How might they engage? I look across here and I see lots of people that are already engaged.
Absolutely.
I see lots of people who are doing so much, and I see lots of ideas. I don't quite see them, but I think there are ideas coming up this year that we haven't, that you and I haven't thought of, that ideas that will be implemented this year. So but I think that's one of the key ideas is if you've got ideas, share them, and let's make them happen. There are ideas that have come up from members of the congregation that have become something that is part of who we are, part of who we've become. I can't remember how long ago, but there was a time when we didn't have a projection unit in this building, and we had a little acetate machine that you would kind of reflect back up on the screen. And we got the projector installed because there were a few people who said, you know what we should do? We should do this. And that's just evolved into something that's a little bit more complex than just having an overhead with the copies run off. It allows us to do more things, but it also requires a few more people to be involved in it. So if that's something that you're interested in, I know our sound and projection team would love to have a few more people just be part of the rotation of someone who can help us through that piece. It's not a lot of time. It's not sitting on this side of the stage. You're sitting on the other end, but you've got a lot of eyes on what you're doing, as we can tell. We just had all the kids leave for Sunday school, and Jack's been talking many times about what a great ministry that is, how many kids we have, how many gems we have this year. These are wonderful statistics that we have, but they need leadership. And if you have an interest in that, if you have a desire to work along some wonderful gems leaders that are already there, and you don't have to be the lead leader, but if you want to help out either in gems or in boys club or in Sunday school, let Doug or I or anybody you know who's part of those ministries know, and we can set you up on something that will have a huge impact on your life for sure. We've had a few events that we've called our Connect events, and that's really anything just brings us together, whether that be a games night or an ice cream social or a cookie eating event. I think awesome. We called it something a little more formal than that, but that's how I remember it. But these are wonderful things that happen. Again, it was someone in our congregation that said, you know what we should do? We should just get together over food, because everybody likes food, and I think it makes that happen. We've had a few people kind of come together and coordinate those things, but if you want to be involved in coordinating those events, if you have another idea for a different type of Connect event, please let us know what that is and connect with us. I think those are some of the key things that happen. And then there's some quieter things that we can do. Our deacons are very, very much involved in connecting with folks, part of our community, who don't make it out here on a Sunday. So how can we connect with them? We've got our pastoral visitors team who connects with these people. If you have a passion to connect with people on a one-on-one basis, let us know. And we'll give you a list of a couple of people that would just love for you to come out and visit with them, pray with them, just encourage them and have a conversation. They're not able to get out, and they would just love that opportunity for sure. And we've had another idea come up. We now have a Friday morning seniors time that's come up. So if you have Friday mornings on your calendar, And if you're a senior, or not a senior, close to a senior.
Yeah, close.
So
yeah.
You go, right?
I'll be there.
So yeah, there you go. So
no comment.
So lots of ideas for us to be part of ideas and community that's happening on behalf of or with Community Church.
You know, I think of all of this, and people wonder, what has it got to do with what Paul's getting at? Paul starts off this, I give thanks every time I think of you. I think of being the church being one of the largest volunteer-based organizations in the world. And I wonder how often we say thank you to the people that have gone before us. Do you have a response to that? About us being thankful for those who have influenced our story?
Yes. Can I? Let me form one. We are thankful. We need to be thankful, without a doubt, for people who've been part of our story, who've shaped who we are. I think we don't thank people enough for that. I think that's certainly true in the case of many life experiences that shape us. We don't realize how much something or someone has shaped us until much after the fact. And it may be a little harder to go back to somebody and say thank you to them for something that they may not even remember. Mm-hmm. But that is something that I would certainly encourage us to do, to thank people in that way. I think of my own journey and my own challenge of as you introduced me as being chair of council, something that I don't think I ever really would have wanted to do prior to, I don't know, a certain point.
But thank you.
So you're welcome. I remember being on council and being in awe of the person who was chair of council. I think that was probably Jack Vanderkooy at the time, someone who was instrumental in setting this congregation up. And, the conversations that I had with Jack were something where he just did a wonderful job of kind of setting up the simplicity of leadership and the responsibility that we have in terms of being in a leadership position here. So, and I think there's many people that I've served on council with who have helped shaped, the person that I am, the way that I approach leadership challenges in there as well. You also mentioned, in your introduction of me that I'm a representative of the denomination. So a couple of years ago, I had a career change that wasn't my choice necessarily. But now I have a full-time position working for the denomination, which I, again, did not foresee that coming and would not necessarily have picked that in there as well. But many people have shaped that. And I believe that that's where God wants me to be.
I think those stories are so evident. I think, in my own story, I think of two quick ones. One is a former colleague who had moved to Iowa, and he drove up from Iowa to our wedding, and wow, what a gift. And he basically, I said, hey, do you want to come and stay for dinner? He goes, no, we're going to have dinner with friends, and then we're going to go home. And I said, but you drove all this way. And here was his comment. I'll never forget it. Don't you think that you're worth it? And that has become a statement for me when I do weddings for people that I don't know necessarily or I want to engage in people's stories. But I also think of a teacher. I don't think teachers understand the profound influence they have on kids. I struggled with school, and many of you know that. And I had a teacher named Will Campice, the first teacher that ever believed in me. And I got to meet him, and he goes to me, Doug, I need to say something to you. If I ever met two students and you're one of them, then I needed to apologize to you for being too hard on, you're one of them. And I said, if I ever met you, I want to thank you, because if it wasn't for you, I would never have believed that I could do the calling to which God has called me to. So you're right. The profound influence and giving thanks for those who shape our lives is so important. But is there a way or two that we can encourage each other and echo Paul's word, I give thanks every time, not I think of you, but every time that we're together or that we're in ministry together?
Absolutely, and I think we have folks here who have a good practice of that, whether that be a note that you might find in your mailbox about something that they're appreciative of, whether there's something that we, that I, that you, that some of us do on a regular basis, that someone comes up to us afterwards and just says, thank you. Your gift, your contribution is appreciated. We don't do things to get that appreciation, but it's amazing how much of a boost it is to get that thank you and that remotivation to continue to do what we're doing. So thank you to those who thank us for doing those things, but I think that's something that we can all learn from. We can all be encouraged by that. And if there's no other motivation to get involved in something you're not involved in yet, it's that someone might say thank you for getting involved in that. And those are some of the key things, whether that just be words or whether that be a note. I think of the passage that you read and many of the passage that Paul writes. He writes an encouraging note, sometimes an admonishing note, but an encouraging note. I wouldn't recommend writing admonishing notes to people in their mailbox. That'll be a different sermon. Mm-hmm. But just put a note in people's mailbox and say, hey, I just want to thank you. I want to encourage you. And it's appreciated. What's going on?
It's interesting because Paul goes on, and after he says, I give thanks every time I think of you, he explains something in the gospel, and he goes, here's why it's so important. Because I have you in my heart. I love you that much. And because he loves them that much, he wants them to partner with them in the gospel. I wonder, not only for us, but as a congregation, is there somewhere that God might be calling you to serve this morning? Is there something within our story that we might be missing out on this morning? Because we're hearing Paul. We understand what he's saying about the partnership in the gospel. But we're not there yet. And he says, basically in essence what he's saying, because he says it in other places when he speaks about spiritual gifts, he goes, when we're all in it together, the body acts like it really should. It's healthy and it's strong. And he says, because you're involved in the life of the gospel, here's what I believe. I am confident, he says, that he who began a good work in you, that is the story of grace, will see it through to completion. And as God begins that story of grace in our life, and as our faith gets growing, I get what he's really getting at is that it plays out in a life of gratitude. And that life of gratitude seems to play out in the way we live and what's important, and that he will do that work. He will partner with us in the gospel of grace until the day of completion. That's the day when he comes again to take us to be with him in glory. And I think of that work that he speaks about. And in Acts 16, he speaks of the gospel going out, and the church was there. They partnered with them as Lydia comes to faith, as the gospel is shared, and the Philippian jailer comes to faith. And there, in the midst of where God had placed him, they share the faith. I think of where you work and where you volunteer and where we reside. It's the same thing as he's getting at. But then he goes on and he says, we speak the gospel later on in chapter 16, and Paul and Silas are arrested. And I think of those difficult moments in our story, which is they are opportunities for us to share our faith. And I think of those moments where we struggle. And if you remember over the Advent season, I was sharing something that God was trying to teach me in the Christmas season. You remember the wise men and the shepherd and Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary. And each of those passages were fear not or do not be afraid. And I think of those moments where God, and at least in my case, was calling me to pray. And I did. And he revealed something. He said, trust me, I've got you. I've never let you down. I will be with you. And I think in the same moments, and I share it because our stories and Paul and Silas, that's why they share it, is to encourage us and to see the hand and the story of God at work within us. And then I love it. He ends this way in that Acts 16 area. He goes, and as I do the work, as I've done in many places, I've asked if you could help out, if you could partner financially with me in the gospel, and you have always shown up, and I was never really in need. We made a plea at the end of the year, and we talked about the budget. The budget really isn't about the budget. It's about our partnership in the gospel. Because the primary means that God uses to advance the kingdom has and always will be the church. The budget makes a difference. Will you comment?
The budget does make a difference. It is a reality of what we have, but I think to much of what we've talked about this morning, one could be inwardly focused and just focus on cutting expenses to make sure that we balance the budget and be involved in or not be involved in ministries outside of this building in order to make sure that things are better. That's not the solution. That's not what we need to do. So a couple of weeks ago, I had kind of just given the reality of where we were and a challenge to say it would be nice if we had enough money come in that would bring us back to where we needed to be at the end of December. In fact, knowing that, because our fiscal year ends in June, knowing that, you know, between January and June, these are our lighter months oftentimes. And you, the congregation, took us up on that challenge. In fact, right now we are ahead of budget at the end of December, and we're well on our way to making our January budget complete.
So thank you so much
for that. And that is one of those moments where we need to be thankful, absolutely. So we'll have the numbers in the next e-news coming up in the next while. I don't want to focus on the numbers so much, but it was very encouraging to see those dollars come in and affirming in terms of what is happening here. It's a one-time event, so conversations still continue about what we can do to leverage this building to find new ways of doing things, and those conversations continue to make sure that we are being as stewardly as possible with the gifts that you entrust us with. But that's an amazing fact. It's something that I believe God was with us through those conversations and each person who took an action to get us there.
I believe this morning that when Paul says, I give thanks every time of you, that God who began a good work in you will see it through to completion, it's all about our partnership in the gospel. And so I think just as we did with the budget, just as we do with the volunteering, what we're doing this morning is really speaking to the heart of Paul's message to us this morning. And so I want to say thank you. Thank you for not only giving financially, thank you for getting involved in your community. Thank you for those of you who volunteer your gifts. And I'm just amazed at the amount, for example, what happens here on a Sunday, the amount of time that takes. I'm thankful for the people that volunteer at Insight and Boys Club and GEMS and just invest in the story of young people, because you don't know the difference that it's going to make. And you know what? There's a variety of different ways that you do that. But thank you. I want to leave you, and we've already talked about it, with two things. Well, probably three, because it wouldn't be a good Reformed sermon without three points, is encourage each other. We're in this together. You know what? A note, a text, an email, a word. You may not even fully understand the depth of what somebody does in that ministry. You know what? A thank you is a word of encouragement. Pray. Pray for the leadership. Pray for your pastors. Pray for the congregation. Pray for the ministries, that God would continue his work and his vision for community church. And the third one is this, is if you're not sure where God is calling you, if you want to be, you have a hankering, or even maybe a feeling a bit of a nudge this morning that you are being called to be a part of something, you know what, talk to myself, Pastor Jack, Peter. We'd love to connect you to the right people. Because God's got something wonderful in store for you in 2020. He's got a plan beyond your wildest dreams. The question is, are we ready to step in? Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you this morning for Paul's challenge to be partners in the gospel. Lord, we thank you for the story of grace that is so evident and true. We thank you that we could celebrate with that with Liz this morning, that we could reaffirm our faith in that this morning, that, Lord, you're not done with us yet. That story of grace is making us more and more like you every day. Help us to be obedient to that call, Lord, that we'd be willing to step out into the unknown with our gifts and with our talents and with our time, and that we would simply trust that you would give the answer and the word and the calling to what that looks like. But Lord, we give you thanks for this church and for the years and the legacy that it has in this community. We thank you for the gifts that are being shone already now, not only here, but around the world. Lord, we thank you for the Christian Reformed Church and its agencies. We thank you for the work of Colossus Toronto and the work that it has around the GTA. And Lord, we thank you for the way that we can be the visible presence of Christ here in the greater York region. And Lord, thank you for all the gifts that make that happen. For those who are willing to step out in faith and say, Lord, here I am, use me. And Lord, may that grace ring true and evident in our story every day, so that in our places of work, in our homes, in our communities, that we can declare that you are sovereign, that you are Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. In your name we pray. Amen.